Hey, well, welcome. So there's a lot of different ideas about what worship is or how to have a relationship with God, a lot of different perspectives. Well, we're in a series called Reengage, and we're talking about how to make improvements in our life by engaging with God, how we have God a part of our life and how that helps us. It seems like we're hardwired to want to make changes. There's always something in my life I want to change or see better. And this time of year, we call it New Year's Resolutions. The changes I want to make in my life. Jesus really had an interesting perspective when he talked about change in God. He said to come to God, you don't have to change anything. I don't have to change anything about my past. Whatever I'm doing right now, I don't have to change a thing. Come as you are. If you want to be with God, God wants to be with you. In fact, Jesus said all the changes happen in our lives after we come to God, not before. But how many people do you know that are, you know, taking a step towards God or wondering about, should I try to have a relationship with you, God? Then all the different things that are happening in their lives come into their mind and they think, I can't make that many changes. I can't do the things necessary to be able to be with God. And Jesus said, come as you are. It's not before, it's after you're with God that the changes happen. That's why last week we started the whole series Reengaged with this theme of worship. It'll come up on the screen before. Worship is when we reengage with God's heart. And we talked about singing. You can go to East Lake Live and get all the talks there. We talked about singing. Singing brings the walls down in my life. When I reach for God, He can reach for me. This was our verse from last week. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It's He who made us, and we are His. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. One of the ideas is when I'm singing to God, I don't just have my perspective on the world. I get His perspective on the world. And God's perspective can be summed up in this sentence, life is a gift and love is the point. Now grab your outlines, if you would. Our series theme verses are on your outline. I'm going to read them to you. The first one, this is how God showed His love for us. God sent His only Son into the world so we might live through Him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. We love because God loved us first. So there's the process. God does something first for us and then we respond. God loved us first and so we can love other people. God forgives me so I can forgive other people. God grants me mercy. I can grant others mercy. Now here's how it shows up in a practical sense, the other bookend to it. Love the Lord God with all your heart. And with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do this, and life will be yours. So the idea is love God, that's worship. But also, we're allowed to love ourselves. What I want to see happen in my life, what I'm trying to get, matters. What I want at my job matters. What I want to see happen in my marriage matters. The amount of money that I want to have matters. We're allowed to care about ourselves. Now the question is, how do I care about myself and have it not turn into selfishness? The question is, how do I love myself and have it not be selfish? Sometimes I don't even realize where this line is. Like, you know, how do I go after what I want? I want to get that. When do I cross over the line? When does loving me become selfish? When I was in junior high school, it was my birthday, and I went into the refrigerator, and there was a small little cheesecake in the refrigerator, and I just knew that cheesecake was for my birthday. And so I saw it in there, and I started to think, well, you know, that's my birthday cake. And since it's mine and it's my birthday, I should be able to eat some of the birthday cake. And before you know it, I had eaten three slices. Now, I'm not talking about a big, ginormous cheesecake. It was just a small one that my family had gotten, maybe five, six, seven pieces. And I ate three pieces of it because I thought, well, it's my birthday cake. I mean, it's my birthday. And then I sort of had this nagging feeling, I'm probably not supposed to eat it yet, so I put the top back on, I slid it back into the refrigerator, about half of it was gone. 20 minutes later, I could hear that cheesecake calling my name. So I went back in, I looked at the cheesecake, I thought, I don't know what the big deal is, it's my birthday. It's my birthday cake. So I polished off the rest. Now, when my parents came into the refrigerator and wanted to know where the cheesecake was, and I told them, I said, well, I ate it. It was my birthday. It was my birthday cake. It wasn't the smoothest birthday I'd ever had. How do you determine how much you should have? How do you decide if you should get your way? If it's okay to love ourselves, how do you decide when it's gone too far and now it's selfish? That's the big idea this weekend. You can see it in your notes if you write in there. Sharing keeps me God-centered instead of self-centered. When I wrap loving myself in sharing, it keeps me God-centered, which is the point. Here's what the Bible says. In whatever you do, don't let selfishness or pride be your guide. Be humble and honor others more than yourselves. Don't be interested only in your own life, but care about the lives of others also. So what it's saying is that there's a way that I can love myself as long as I stay God-centered in that love. Now the problem is knowing when you cross over the line, or how do you stay God-centered? Maybe you've done this before, I've done this before. I just feel like, well, I've been working hard, I deserve this, or it's my turn now, or whatever sentence that we use when we start to transition into thinking, I should be able to do this. I didn't really mean to eat all the cheesecake. I just thought it was mine. And since it was mine, I could do whatever I wanted with it. And I crossed over the line. I remember when the cheesecake was all gone and I got what I wanted, I wasn't satisfied because there was this feeling of selfishness left behind. Have you ever had that happen? Maybe recently, and you had to push or maybe even throw a tantrum to get your way. And when you finally got your way, it wasn't that satisfying because you felt selfish. Like, well, yeah, I got my way and everything, but there was just this feeling left behind like, I was selfish about this. See, God has a way for us to love ourselves that doesn't leave us feeling selfish. We're allowed to care about us, but we can do it in a God-centered way that doesn't leave us feeling selfish. Now, what happens if I decide I'm going to be sharing? We're going to look at some things today. Write your notes, number one, sharing creates partnership. And don't forget to do good and to share what you have with others, because sacrifices like these are very pleasing to God. Sacrifices like these, sharing with other people. And sacrifices can be fairly small, by the way, when it comes to sharing. My wife and I have a completely different approach on how we go out to dinner and what dinner should be like when you go out to a restaurant or lunch. When we go out to eat, we have a completely different approach. See, my approach is whatever I order and comes on my plate is mine. That's why I ordered that, because that's what I want to eat, what's on my plate. Now, Clarice has a completely different approach to it. She orders what she wants, and then she sees what I order, and when the food comes to the table, she thinks everything is to be shared. She's willing to share what's on her plate, and she assumes I'm willing to share what's on my plate, and I'm not. Because I own what's on my plate, that's why I ordered it. And by the way, I don't even want what's on your plate because you order something stupid like poached salmon, which I hate. I don't want that. It's not a fair trade for my steak. But her feeling about the experience is it's to be shared, which is a sacrifice to me. I ended up doing sick things like eating as fast as I can so I don't have to share anything. Now, you know those laughing the loudest do the same thing. And it's a small sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice, sharing. She sees it as a partnership when we go. See, she actually thinks marriage is a sharing relationship, go figure. But when I get to that restaurant, that's mine. And I can do with it what I want. And that's the problem. The Bible says that there's different types of things that can guide us. I can be guided by selfishness or pride, or I can be guided by sharing. See? It shows up in lots of different ways, and some of them are real big. These are the tough ones when they're really big and important, and we feel like we have every right to demand our way. I've probably done 100 weddings. I've performed over 100 weddings, and I'm happy to say I have not seen many bridezillas. But everybody's heard of bridezillas, you know, and that's the one that, you know, everything has to be the way she wants it and or her mom wants it or whatever it is. And I've seen it in weddings before, but not often. There's a tension that develops because there's this almost like, I have a right to want my wedding to be this way. I'm going to get married this time. We're spending a lot of money. The wedding is going to be the way I want it to be. And you sort of, it's like, oh, I understand that. I mean, there's a lot of energy and time, and you're only going to have this wedding. I mean, it's big. I mean, it almost seems like, have you ever had something in your life and you feel justified? You're like, you know, on this thing, it's okay for me to say, for me to get my way. It's going to be the way I want it to be. And I've seen weddings like that, and they're pretty, but it seems like all the good stuff is missing. All the sharing, all the camaraderie, all the partnership, it's just not there. Now, contrast that with a wedding ceremony that I did recently that was a very simple ceremony. And bride and groom were going to get married, and it was such a contrast to that. Because right from the very beginning, their desire was to honor God in getting married. So right off the bat, it was different. It was like it was going to be a partnership with God. And if they weren't talking about that, they were talking about their friends and their family and their guests that were going to be at this ceremony. I mean, it was like the whole thing was a partnership. It was like either, you know, we're going to share this time together. I want to make sure that God is included, and I want to see how it's going to be for the people that are coming. And even though it was very, very simple, it was a simple, simple ceremony, all of the good stuff was there. You could just feel the people rooting for this couple. And God was amongst us. It was shared. Do you know, in partnership, so often what we create and what we experience is so much better when it's we than when it's me. See, when it's me, I cross over the line. But when it's we, when it's in a partnership and I'm sharing, I was talking to our foster daughter recently, and they tried for 10 years to have children. And they finally made it and they had their first child. And she was talking with me about the tensions that she was going through because she went back to work and she really needed her family and her extended family because they were willing to help babysit and do things like that. But it was driving her crazy because they didn't parent her child like she thought that they should. And they were doing things that they thought she shouldn't, and you know, it was driving her crazy because she kept trying to correct them, and we don't do this, and we are going to do this. And she had this attitude like, as long as I've waited for this kid, nobody's going to tell me how to parent my kid. Nobody's going to be, and she had this sort of like, this is my child. It was interesting as I talked with her, she's a Christ follower, when she made the transition, the Bible says children are a gift from God, and she realized even children are shared. She realized that she had to be willing to create some space for her mother-in-law and for her husband's father, who was retired now and could help out a lot, and even her mom, who she saw differently now when she was parenting her kid. And as she started to create some space and realized, wait a minute, this is a partnership. There was cross-pollination. She saw some different ways that people parented and some different perspectives, and some she liked, some she didn't. It caused some trust and some patience. Was there some tension? Well, sure there was. They had to have some conversation, but listen, all the good stuff happened. And she told me they're much closer as a family now. When she realized that even with a child, this is crazy now, because I remember when I had our first child, it was like, hey, nobody's going to tell me. But if you make the transition, I had to, and you realize, wait a second, this is a gift from God. This, our child is a gift from God. And as I share, all the good stuff happens. See, partnership is a result of sharing. And I can love myself when I wrap it in sharing. It keeps me God-centered, and I stay on this side of the line. Now, number two, write in your notes, sharing creates impact instead of intentions. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? I understand the problem. I see things all the time and I have intentions. You know, I'm going to intend to do this, I'm going to intend to do that, and I see something that I think should be done. And I have this like sort of attitude about it that something should be done, but I don't do anything. Or the other side of it too is like when I do something wrong and somebody comes and tells me what I've done, the first thing out of my mouth is, I didn't mean to. That wasn't my, have you ever caught yourself saying this to someone? That wasn't my intention. And when you have an attitude of sharing, again, now remember, we're talking about how we love ourselves. We're pursuing what we want. But we have an attitude of sharing. I'm open to live in my impact. Before we get to my intentions, tell me what impact I had on you. And here's even the better news. I moved past intending to do things and actually doing things. I think I told you one time before the story of Anthony Campolo, the sociologist, who was out of country at a seminar. He'd come back in the evenings to his hotel, and there would be these young teenagers that had been turned into prostitution, and they were waiting around the lobby in this hotel. Every night he came back and he saw them. And every time he saw them, he was disgusted. He said, somebody should do something about that. Something should be done for those girls. He'd go up to his room and go back to his seminar the next day, and each night he saw him. He said, what's going to be done about this? And one night when he walked in, he said, something needs to be done. And he said, God spoke to him clearly. He said, yeah, and you're going to do something. You're going to be the one to do something. So the next night when he came into the hotel, he went to the concierge, and he asked that in 1/2 hour, he would bring these girls up to his room. So 1/2 hour later, there's a knock at the door, and here's these young teenage girls expecting, as you can imagine. But as they came into the room, there was cartoons playing on the television. And there was a huge cake set up on a table. And there was buckets of candy. And there was cookies. And he brought in all kinds of silly toys and hung little banners. And of course, these girls walk into this room, you know, here's this older man, and you know, they're like, what's this? You know. I heard him tell this story actually live. He said he took him an hour before they would even move into the room. And then they finally sat down on the bed and they sort of glanced at the TV. And then one of them got up and walked over to the table and took a cookie. And he was back on the side just watching, trying to disappear. And then they kicked their shoes off and they laid down on the bed and they started to watch TV. And then they started getting cake and ice cream and they started giggling and playing and eating candy. And he could tell that he had disappeared. And he watched these girls for a couple hours just watch TV and giggle and laugh. And then they fell asleep. I remember when he told the story, he said he looked at them and they looked like angels. And then he had this thought come into his mind. He goes, why'd I even bother? Tomorrow's just going to be the same old day for them again. They're just going to go back to the same old stuff. They're going to be made to do that stuff. Why'd you tell me? This doesn't have any impact. This doesn't matter. He said, God said, oh, Tony, it mattered. You gave me an opportunity to remind them who they really are. It mattered. It had an impact. Sharing keeps me on this side of the line. You know, the problem wasn't that I ate that cheesecake. The problem was I thought it was mine. And when I tried to do something for myself, and I have an attitude, this is mine, I cross over the line. And I missed everything. My whole family, we hardly ever got cheesecake. I didn't get to see my sisters eat the cheesecake. I didn't get to see my folks eat the cheesecake. We didn't have the thing. All the good stuff got washed away because it was mine. See, I ended up with so much less. Now look at the bottom line here. We end up with more, not less. See, when I wrap the way I love myself in sharing, listen to what the Bible says. Some people give freely and gain more. Others refuse to give and end up with less. Give freely and you will profit. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed.